going to get you on recorded.
On recorded.
Video. And you can't deny nothing you're going to say.
Deep water. That's more, yeah. That's better. Okay. There is deep water here, isn't it? Get situated here. This thing don't have a lip on the bottom.
That is a cheap one.
Can I can't level it up. Oh, it's fine. It's okay. Good. It's fine. It'll work. We'll work with it. Wow. We're over here in the motorhome, and let's see. Okay. I think we have water to the wheels. Looking good. My name is Aha, and I'm materialized as Lynn Hayes. And you'll see what I said maybe in a little while. And then maybe you won't be too offended. I hope not. I hope I won't. Sometimes it's like Ray said, sometimes we get upset if someone kicks at our golden calves. And I tend to do that often, not on purpose. I don't do this on purpose at all. I do it because I just have a love for it. It's not necessarily that I love kicking golden calves. It's just I have a passion for what we would call the Word of God. And the Word of God bubbles up from within me. And it's kind of an awesome thing. And so sometimes when I'm praying and I'm meditating, then the Word will begin to bubble up out of me. The Word of God, you know, that Rhema. How many of you remember the difference of the Logos and the Rhema? It's a shame they didn't tell us that the Logos was the cosmos Word that constantly proceeds. And constantly, in the Hebrew, they use a word called Vadiomer. And the word Vadiomer from the Hebrew is translated in Genesis 1 for the word said. Because I have this thing I'm grappling with, and that is I'm trying to get God out of this human body we put Him in.
Right.
We put Him in a body about 1700 or 1800 years ago, and we now have Him as such that He has gray hair, long gray hair, sort of like mine, a little longer, long white flowing beard, and he's sometimes He's up there in the sky. We'll see His face and the rest of His body just kind of silhouettes into the sky. You know what I'm saying? And then we have this picture of that old man when he reached down and played in the mud on the earth and created this thing from the mud. And that thing was kind of naked and he went, go your way. And that's not at all what the Scripture says. And that's not at all what God is. And I'm trying to... that stirs a lot of people, but God is not a man. Tells us that in Numbers 22. God is not a man. Well, what would God be? And that, I think, is a tremendous question. And even sometimes a greater or as great a question can be asked is, what are we? Or who am I? And so kind of I want to work with that idea. Just grapple with it a little bit, and there's not any way to reproduce something that you have already done. You know, you can give a similar message. Don't ever come out the same way for me. I don't know why. I can go back and try to re-say the same thing, and I can't re-say the same thing. It doesn't come out that way. But I have things that I write, and I want to read some of these things to you, if you will permit me to. Mankind can live. Mankind can live. And when I'm saying mankind, I'm talking about all of us. No matter who you are, race, color, creed, really doesn't matter. But mankind can live like an animal. This morning I talked about the book of Haggadah. And most people have never heard of the book of Haggadah. Haggadah was a companion book for Genesis. So most of you have heard of the book of Genesis, haven't you? Just haven't heard of it from the Hebrew code. And that's a shame. That's really a shame. We read it from the storybook form that the Catholic Church gave us. And not realizing what they did for us when they dumbed it down and brought it to us in the setting that we have it. And so what happened is we lost so much of what it said. And that's what I'm trying to work with, is to go back and regain. What was this saying? What was this energy transmitting to us? So we have in Genesis 1, 7 times the word vayomer. And it says, it uses God said, vayomer. But the word vayomer just simply means to emanate. How many of you have ever seen the aurora borealis? Okay, the thing about the aurora borealis, it just emanates out of the earth. It just does that. It's sort of like the springs that just bubble up out of the earth. That's what the word vayomer means. It means emanation. It means that that's coming forth. You see, since God is not a man, God don't have vocal cords. He doesn't have a larynx box. Selah. Huh? He doesn't have a vocal box. Gee, I know you say, but Brother Lynn, I heard God speak. Well, I have too. I listen to him all the time. I have to listen to God, because if I don't listen to God, then I won't hear the word of God, the Rhema, spoken word of God, as it emanates, vayomer, comes forth from him like a bubbling stream. But it does that. It does that constantly. Just exactly like that rainbow constantly spews out of the earth at the North Pole. It just does that because it's created to do that. It's designed to do that. God designed itself to be that way. It constantly emanates, and we call it speaking. We call it, well, God said to me. So, if you've never read the book of Haggadah, you wouldn't understand, since it's a companion book for the book of Genesis, you wouldn't understand that the book of Haggadah talks about how that you have the ability to live as a unique creature on this planetary system. You have a unique ability to walk upright and to communicate with one another, to talk, to converse with, back and forth with one another. That's a unique ability that we have. And so, and that ability, we can still live like the animal creature that most of us are. In other words, we can live from the lower centers of our being. We can live from our sexual organ, which is our red chakra, which keeps us grounded from the Adama, that red earth. It keeps us grounded to this. We can live from that. Most people are driven with that. Most people are driven, especially men, with their sexual organ. Y'all could say amen. It wouldn't offend. That's not good, bad, right, or wrong. That just simply is. And, you know, you could actually say, well, thank God for that, because if it wasn't for that, most of you wouldn't have children. Boy, it's quiet. Is this okay? That's what drove me and Connie, and after three, we figured it out. No, really, we could have probably had a lot more, but you can live like an animal. Most of us do and don't recognize it. I mean, you know, there are called the four F's. The four F's, I'm sure all of you have heard of that, where people live out of the mode of just food. Or, if they can't get food, they fight. And if they can't get food or fight, they get in fear. And then the other one, you can figure that one out yourself, is procreation. Really slow, aren't they? So, you can watch the news, you can look at us, you can look at humanity and realize most of us live like an animal. We live from the carnal mind, the carnal nature. That's why we have so much division. That's why we don't know how to live with brotherly love. That's why we don't know how to allow someone to speak what they feel without being offended. Even if they say things that we think are four-letter words from this place we call a pulpit. Right. And what I'm trying to do is pull you out of the pit. So I'm not in the pulpit. You are. And so we have things so much backwards, and God is trying to get us to a place where we can get that turned and going in the right direction. So you can live like an animal, an earthly being, and that is just exactly what that is. And that's how God sees it. God sees that as it is. He doesn't judge it as right or wrong, good or bad. He doesn't judge it that way. We do. We have created that idea. We have created that concept that says this is wrong and you shouldn't do it that way. I would say that depends on where you live. Because if you live in Georgia, it's righteous to drink tea and unrighteous to drink beer. But if you live in Germany, it's righteous to drink beer and unrighteous to drink tea. So it just depends on where you live. That alone shows me that we begin to live and think like the animal that we are from the carnal mind. And religion feeds on that and tries to get you and I to feed on that concept and that idea. So you can live like the animal that most of us are from the lower area of our being, or we can, and this, God doesn't, he doesn't get upset. Do you think that God gets mad when a lion who is the alpha male goes out and tries to kill one of the other lions who is the beta male? Does God get mad because he does that? Because he said, bless God, I'm the king here. You think God gets upset with that? No, God doesn't judge that and say, you shouldn't do that. You are to be nicer to that little lion over there. He's not as strong as you are. God doesn't see it that way. See, you see, we have created God in our image. We have failed to recognize that we are created in, not in. The Hebrew doesn't say we are created in God's image in Genesis 1:26. It says we are created as God's image. There's a huge difference.
Yes.
You see, when you become as the image of something, you are that something.
Yes. Right. Yes. Whoa. Yes. Yes.
When you're created in the image of it, you're separate from it.
Right.
One of our greatest hindrances has been our separate thinking. God's up there, I'm down here. So we divide ourselves from ourselves, and then we war and we fight among ourselves, and we wonder what's wrong. We look at humanity, and we wonder, why do we do all this fighting? Why do we all this prejudice? Why do we do all of this? But you see, there is an energy in the earth that's rising. There's a consciousness that's beginning to swell in the earth that says that you and I are one energy, that we have one mind, that we are one, no matter what language, what tongue, what color, no matter who you are. We are one. That's beginning to rise all over the earth. Hallelujah. You and I are a part of that. Or you can live, according to the book of Haggadah, you can live in, as mankind, you can also live as the light being that you are. Everybody say that. Say light. Hebrew, or. Or, yeah. Or, that's the Hebrew word for light. And that's what you are. You're light beings. In other words, you're energy beings and don't realize it. You think you're human beings. But you're not. You just wear materiality, a physical suit, to play in this dimension.
Amen.
Called time, space, matter.
Yes.
And you get to play here for a period of time and do what you would like with that. And then guess what? You get to go back to that very or that you come from. In Genesis 1, 1, 2, and 3, Barashit bara Elohim in et va'eshamayim in et eretz. Sounds good to me. Var'yomer or in et or. And all I just said, they dumbed it down by telling you and me that it said, in the beginning God created heavens and earth. It doesn't say that. The Hebrew doesn't say that. It doesn't imply that. It doesn't mean that. It's talking about how the energy, the many facets of energy, the best that we can understand it, there are for sure 7 facets of it. Could very well be 22 facets of it. That's speculative. I personally think there are 22 facets of it. I know there's 7 visible manifestations of that energy in the earth, and we call it a rainbow.
Yeah, we saw it.
Or you call it the 7 chakras. Or you can call it the 7 endocrine glands if you want to become medical. Or you can call it the 7 churches if you want to go to the book of Revelation. But you're saying the same identical thing. It doesn't matter if you're saying it in Genesis chapter, in Genesis, the first book of the Bible, or if you're saying it in Revelations, the end of the Bible. It really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're talking about a 7 golden candlestick that's hammered out of 1 energy system. you're still talking about you. Eha, aha. You're still talking about yourself. So you can live like an animal, or you can live like the light being that you are. And if you live like the light being that you are, you've took on a material form. And in that material form, you can live in any way, shape, form, or fashion that you so choose, because it's based off choice. I'm sorry, God, even though you come in here with karma, you also came here with dharma. What do you mean by that? You came here with purpose and design. You came here designed and purposed by the energy system that is God, and most of us don't know that. That's our biggest problem. We just don't know. Because once you begin to know who you are, you begin to know what you are, you begin to know how and why God created you to be the way that you are, then you know what? That energy system itself will begin to work a tremendous change in you. You won't have to do it. And that's exactly what Paul meant when Paul said, it's by grace. Yes. You're saved, sozo. It's by grace you're made whole. It's not joining a church, not praying a particular prayer. It's not saying a certain mantra. It has nothing to do with any of it. It's by grace. It's by grace. It's by caris. It's by grace. It's not you. It's not me. I got the magic wand somewhere. I could wave it over you. I got fire in my hands. I could lay them on you. It's not that. That's something that you will feel in your emotional body, and you can say, oh, that was wonderful. You know, you can shandala, kick my Honda, start my Suzuki. You can, and that's wonderful. I pray in my prayer language, thank you. I appreciate that aspect of my energy system that God gave me. I practice that. I walk in that, but I'm not limited to that. I'm not trying to make a religion out of that, and I'm not trying to lay my hand on you and say, if you don't shandala the way I shandala, then you ain't got the Holy Ghost. I mean, Connie and I've been walking this way a long time, hid up there in the mountains at the foot of the hills in North Georgia. I've been pastoring for 32 years, so I've been to the rodeo a time or two. Connie and I'm 49. Connie's a little older than that. I like older women. I marry her. We have three daughters. Our oldest daughter is 44, and she's almost as old as I am. I was 39 for a long time, and then when she turned 42, she said, Daddy, why do you tell everybody you're 39? I'm 42 year old. She said, you're in denial. I said, okay, I'll be 49. So I moved up to 49, and we have 10 grandbabies. Our oldest granddaughter, she's 23. Our youngest grandson, he's 7, Kip, and we love them, and they're a major, major part of our life. It's just awesome. It's just wonderful. So most of us believe, but rarely accept the fact that we are two-part beings. Is that okay? That wasn't too hard, was it? Most of you believe that, don't you? But you very rarely accept that. Do you know why? Because most of the time you're only busy about one of them. Most of that's the only one you ever feed. You can look at us. I tell her, I said, we do everything we can to kill ourselves. You see, the thing about the Hebrew word alif, that's the number one word in the Hebrew alphabet. It means life and death. It has to do with contention. And it's alive inside every one of us. I said, because what we will do is we will kill ourselves as we enjoy the very fact that we're killing ourselves. You say, well, how do you think that, Brother Lynn? Look at what we eat. Do we not eat stuff that's killing us at the same time satisfying us? Oh, boy, that was good. I mean, I'm from North Georgia. I'm from the South. We eat fried chicken with all the grease you can put in it. That's killing us. I mean, when I was a little boy, my grandma had a big old white silver lard bucket in the kitchen, and every time she cooked, she'd reach in there and get her a big handful of lard, make biscuits. We ate out at lunch, make something out of that lard bucket, and then fry. That's how you do it in the South. Satisfy yourself and kill yourself at the same time. That's an animal. But that's us. That's us. And God's just simply saying, hey, you're a two-part being, and you can live, and you can constantly, I'll just continually regurgitate you. That'll catch up with you later on. And you can live from that physical aspect of your being. That's not right or wrong. It just simply is. Or you can live from a higher. Paul said it this way. He said, you can live from below or you can live from above.
Yeah.
Now that doesn't mean that you have to go anywhere to live.
That's right.
Do you understand that? You can live from below or you can live from above. It's totally, it's your choice. And so it doesn't matter with God. God just simply says, it's fine. Just, you know, make the choice. But we'll spend most of our time living from below, and most of our time living from below is live from our affectionate being. R-E-I-E, emotions. Y'all got any? And so you can live that from your emotional being, and it's okay. God didn't say it was good, bad, right, or wrong. God just says it is what it is, and it's okay. Okay, you got, everybody got one? Open your Bible to Psalms chapter 8. Hallelujah. Psalms chapter 8. A cabbie picked up a nun. She gets into the cab and she notices that a very handsome cab driver won't stop staring at her. She asks him why he was staring. He replies, I have a question to ask, but I don't know what. I don't want to offend you. She answered, my son, you cannot offend me. When you're as old as I am and have been a nun as long as I have, you get a chance to see and hear just about everything. I'm sure that there's nothing you could say or ask that I would find offensive. Well, I've always had a fantasy to have a nun kiss me. She responds, well, let's see what we can do about that. Number one, you have to be single. Number two, you have to be a Catholic. And the cab driver, very excited, and he said, yes, I'm single and I'm a Catholic. And so she said, okay. The nun said, next corner, pull off and we'll go into the alley and I'll see what we can do. So the nun fulfills his fantasy with a kiss that would make a hooker blush. But when they get back on the road, the cab driver starts crying. My dear child, said the nun, why are you crying? Forgive me. I've sinned. I lied, and I must confess. I'm married, and I'm Jewish. And the nun said, that's okay. My name is Kevin, and I'm going to a costume party. So, I said that to say that the water is receding. Take your shoes off, and we may as well enjoy this. Amen? Psalms chapter 8. Two of the most important questions that you'll ever ask yourself are these. Number one, what am I? And number two, who am I? Now I want to try to look at that and see we've got something here. We've got something to mark with, and I want to see if we can break this down and look at some things. You work with me and help me with this. So Psalms chapter 8 verse 4. It says, what is man that you are mindful of him? In other words, the word mindful is the Hebrew word zekar, and it just simply means you've marked him. It amazes me many times these guys that call themselves prophet have read the book of Revelation. It's a shame that they didn't hear what they read. And so it amazes me many times how that they harp and they just constantly hammer at that thing they call the mark of the beast, not even knowing what it is. But they hammer at it, and I always ask them, what about the mark of God? You talk about the mark of the beast that's mentioned in the book of Revelation three or four times. What about the mark of God that's listed in the book of Revelation at least seven or eight or nine times, twice as many times as the mark of the beast? And you say,
Well, I didn't know that was in there.
I know that. You say, God has marked you. And that word, it just simply means that you carry an aura, energy. That's what God is. You carry an aura, an energy with you, whether you know it or you don't know it. It's irrelevant. And I tell you, as a pastor, pastoring for so many years, one way you can really sense that energy is go to a couple's house, knock on the door, walk in, and they just got through cussing each other out. But then you go to the door and they're all, oh, hey, Pastor, come in. Oh, we were just talking about you. And I mean, the air is thick. Have you ever? Okay, that's exactly what that is, Zakar. It's an aura, it's an air, it's an atmosphere, it's energy. And so God has said this. He's what is man? You've marked him. And the Son of Man that you visit with him. For you have made him a little lower. I'm reading from the faithful King James. You've made him a little lower than the angels. And here in this particular translation is the word Elohim. Elohim, which is the third word in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. Did you notice this? In Genesis 1:1, it's in the beginning, God. Let me get this marker. Are all of these markers? I've never seen anything like this. Yeah, okay. They have them fancy like this. In the beginning, God. Let me just write it out in English this way. Elohim, E-L-O-H-I-M. Elohim, God. Y'all familiar with that one, aren't you? Everybody's comfortable with that though, so far. Yet right here, they translated it angel, exactly the same Hebrew word. Same Hebrew, no difference. And so, you know, years ago I sat under Finest Jennings Date, who had the Bible memorized, and so I thought since my teacher had the Bible memorized, then it was my responsibility to memorize the Bible. That's a pretty hard task to do. And so I began to listen to Brother Dake, who wrote the Dake Bible, which I use one, have for years and years and years. Don't believe any of the notes. I use them just exactly the opposite now to what he said they were. So whatever he said it was, I realize it's not. So whatever he said it's not, I realize it is. Wasn't a real hard concession for me. It just worked real well. But Brother Dake began to teach me some things, and I appreciate him and thank God for him and all that he did for me in those early years and early days. But here, this translation, King James, it caused me up front years ago in my young mind, it caused me to be suspicious of the translators. And in my suspicion, I asked myself this question, why do they not say the same thing? Because in my minute thinking, it seems like consistency would have been a good answer. Because if you're going to say Elohim is one thing in one place, then why not say Elohim is the same thing in another place? Why say that Elohim is judges or magistrates if you're talking about kings or you're talking about people over natural people? And then why say in another place that it's God singular when you're trying to build a concept and an idea, where in another place you say it's gods with an S on it, calling it plurality? And so everybody knows, God forgive us that we would get into some kind of a plurality of gods. But anybody who will do a little bit of homework in Hebrew, and when you do that, you'll realize the Hebrew word Elohim is plurality of energy systems. Not any way you can squeeze any shape, form, or fashion the Hebrew word Elohim down to being something singular. It's multifaceted. It's plural. And so it's used that way in some places, and in other places it's not used that way. In other places it's used and it just says God, just like Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. Then you go over here in another place and it says gods. We look at that. So he says right here, you made him a little lower or a little, it doesn't mean lesser. Has nothing to do with lesser. It just has to do with the energy system that is Elohim as it became matter. Lowered itself into matter. Didn't make it less. It didn't deplete it. It didn't deplenish it. It didn't do anything to it. It lowered itself into matter. Say, that's me. That's me. That's me. So who am I? Who am I? Who is man? Y'all, well, I ain't gonna say that. I ain't gonna say that I am God. Well, what else could you be? See, you're real slow catching on here. Or maybe you're not mad. I hope you're not. So he said, I've lowered myself into matter. You see, I've taken myself out of the infinite and I've put myself into the finite. I've taken myself out of the limitless and put myself into the limited. But still in limited, I'm limitless.
Amen.
You see, in the infinite, I'm still finite.
Yeah.
You see, in that seems to be impossible, I'm still possible. You see, God comes into all of your impossibilities with possibility. Well, you say it's impossible. God says it's possible.
Amen.
But you see, that's who we are. We try to say, well, that was because you had special faith. No, that's because you begin to recognize the energy that you really are. So when you don't be afraid to say that I am God. Jesus said it this way. Me and my Father are the same thing. John chapter 10, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. That's a settled fact, done deal. And you know what you said? You let the church convince you through religion that he was something special and you're not. He was the representation of humanity in all of its shape, form, and fashion. He represented you as you, and he said, as I am, you are too. Now you can get upset about that or you can get excited about that.
Yeah.
It really don't matter. I want to get excited about it because I begin to realize that there's not any difference here. No one distinction at all. So as he is, so am I. So we're taught to think by religion that I'm just this gob of flesh. I'm just this limited glob. I'm just this material thing, and I'm just manifest. You say I'm working on this bi-location deal. I know it's possible. I don't even question it. See, I'm not even trying to adopt it as a belief system. I already know that I have an ability to bi-locate. I also have an ability to commune and to talk with you. I don't care if you're on the other side of the world. The Aborigines practice this on a lower scale. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, they do. They do. And so I know that we have these unique abilities, see, because there's not any break in energy. Energy is a continuous thing and it's everywhere all at the same time. And I'm linked to it. I'm one with it.
Right.
But I've accepted a lie that says I'm separate from it because I'm just this material glob of manifestation. Your physical body is not a mistake. It is not. Your physical body is one of the most marvelous, glorious things that is so unique. There are so many things going on in you right now. It bogs the mind down. If you begin to realize right now, you don't even have to think and your body's growing a toenail. You don't even have to think and your body is bladdering while it bladders. You don't have to think and you're breathing, your heart's beating. You're doing marvelous things. You're doing a million things at this very moment and don't know it. You're marvelous. You're not a mistake. You're not lesser than anything. It's phenomenal how God has created you. Who is man? What are you? Who are you? What am I? Well, I tell you, I am the visible material manifestation of Iha. Aha. Ooh, glory to God. I put something down in my feet. I'm not sure what it is. I heard Brother Hagin say one time, a long, long time ago, about 30 years ago when I was listening to that faith, he said, ooh, glory, it's in my feet, and he wanted to take off and run. I feel that. So y'all just help me and hold on to me real, real close here. Now, you're right there in Psalms. Just go over with me a few books. Psalms 139. Squeeze what we can out here. Just wave a red flag and I'll stop anytime. Psalms 139, verse 7. Does anybody have a Livid Bible? Livid Bible. Y'all afraid to carry one of them? They're really good. Some places they're way more accurate. Got amplified. Okay, I think Connie's got an amplified. Verse 7, it says, "Where shall I go from your presence, from your spirit? Where shall I flee from your presence?" Oh, I wish I had a Living Bible. What does the Amplified say there?
Where could I go with your spirit? Or where could I flee from your presence?
Where can I flee from your presence? It says this so clearly in the Living Bible. It says, "Where could I go that I would need to be saved?" That's what it's in the Living Bible. It says, "Where could I go that I would need to be saved?" Do you know why? It's implying a very simple fact. There's not anywhere I can go. There's not anything I can do that you're not there. I can't go from you. I can't be away from you no matter where. Not at all. Where can I go? If I ascend into heaven, verse 8, you're with me. If I make my bed in hell, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning, I dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall your hand lead me and your right hand will hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from you, but the night shineth as the day, the darkness as the light, and both are alike to you." There's no difference. There's no difference in light and dark in God's eyes. As far as God's concerned, they're both alike. They're both the same. Verse 13 says, "For you have possessed my reins." You have possessed my reins. And I read that and I thought, what does he mean he's got a hold of my reins? And when I was a little boy, I lived on a farm, and my grandpa, he had a mule called Rhodey. We plowed that mule in the summer. We'd plow our garden, small garden, and I plowed Rhodey when I was a little boy. And that big old mule, I'd just strap those reins, and here we would go. Set the plow, and the mule does the rest if you know how to do it. I'm not saying it's not hard work. It is hard work, but an 8, 10, 12-year-old boy can do it. You strap those reins, especially you got a good mule that knows gee and haw. Most of y'all don't know G and Ha. But when you have a good mule, he knows G and Ha. And you are back there and you got that plow set. G, G, Ha, 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 G, G, G. And that mule knows exactly what you're saying. Because you have this communication going on. And he said right here, "God, you possess my reins." And I thought, well, it must be his mule plowing. That's not what it means. That's not at all what it says. If you will, hold your finger right here and turn with me to Proverbs chapter 8. We'll come right back over here. Just want you to see something. Proverbs chapter 8. It says in verse 22, Proverbs chapter 8, 22, it says, "The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his ways." Possess me. Quanah. Hebrew quanah. The Lord possessed me. He quanahed me. And the word just simply means he recovered me and he redeemed me before I ever set foot here.
Wow.
Did you get that?
Yes.
He quanah.
Yes.
That's his reins. That's his guiding ability. You see, he redeemed you and he recovered you before you ever started. You think that there's anywhere you can go or anything you can do that God don't know? God knows you're sitting down, he knows you're sleeping, he knows you're rising up. There's nowhere you can go that God's not there, that God's not... He sees what's happening. Possessed me in the beginning of his ways before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting from the beginning or ever the earth was. I was with him. I was set up.
Yeah.
I was predetermined. I was Dharma. That's exact. I was purposed. In the Dharma, the purpose and the design of God, I came in here with a karma. And that karma was a gift from God that says, that's a hurdle. That karma is your hurdle, Lynn, and I want you to climb over it because it'll give you strength. And then he called that hurdle Satan. And we thought that was my enemy.
Yeah.
It's not. Religion told you that lie. So he said in verse 23, I was set up from everlasting and from the beginning, forever the earth was. When there was no depth, I was brought forth. When there was no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest parts of the dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. Do you understand? I'm talking about who you are. You have to get a hold of who you are.
Right.
He said, man, I was there with you before you ever set this thing up.
Yeah.
So he prepared the heavens. I was there when he set a compass upon the face of the deep, when he established the clouds, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave the sea his decree that the waters should not pass the command, when he appointed the fountains of the earth, then I was by him. Who are you?
Yeah.
You're far more. You think that you're just some kind of a material manifestation called Lynn? No, you're so far much beyond that. You're more than you can possibly imagine.
Amen.
Hold your place there in Psalms. I think I'm going to try to come back over there. Just quit with me this on this rabbit trail. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Your physical body is not a mistake, and you can begin to look at it, you begin to recognize it, you'll begin to see that it's not a mistake. You'll realize that you are far greater than you recognize or you realize that you are. You see the mystery of the magic of the seed. The seed. The mystery of the magic of the seed. I like that. I made that up. I just love that. I think that sounds so good. If you'll chew on it, you will too. The mystery. I like mysteries. You know, God says, I took this and I hid it. I hid it in a dark place. And you're going to have courage to go in the dark place, because when you get in the dark place, you realize it ain't dark. You know, the darkest place that there was in the Old Testament was the Holy of Holies, because there was no light there. Except God. And that's all God is light. And so there where there was total darkness, guess what? It was light. And you and I thought, well, I thought it was dark in there. I know what you thought. John chapter 10. You see, your physical body can be one of two things. It can be a prison or it can be a mansion.
That's right.
And you can let it control you or you can control it.
Amen.
I would have got more than one amen. You can let it control you or you can control it. You can let it destroy you or you can enjoy it. It is wonderful. It's marvelous. Hallelujah. Jesus said, John chapter 10 verse 30. I want you to see this. I and my Father are one. Now you know, you remember, all of you Bible students and scholars, you realize that got him in deep water. Deep water. That got him in real deep water. I and my Father are one. Look down at verse 34. Jesus answered and he said, is it not written in your law that you have said? Your law said, you are gods. Elohim. That's the word Elohim right here. Elohim. Did you notice how they pluralized it? You notice they say, not one. And I know, I hear all that. You know, I hear that in the back of my mind. Somebody says,
yeah, but brother, then the Old Testament says that the Lord our God is one God. Hallelujah. You know what? I know that. You know what? I know what that says in Hebrew. And you know what? I bet you don't. I have these Hebrew people call me. I'll leave that alone right now. Let me go on this rabbit chase. We'll get back. Verse 34, Jesus answered and he said, is not written? Is it not written? Is it not written in your law that it says that you are gods?
Plural, Elohim. And you know what Jesus said? Don't you, have you, don't y'all realize that you're the, you're energy?
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, we are.
You know, they got mad. They said, no, wait a minute. They wait a minute now. Verse 35. If he called them gods unto whom the word came, and the scriptures cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, you blaspheme, because I said I am the Son of God. What is he trying? He's trying to soothe them by simply saying, there's not any difference between me and the Father. If I say I'm the Son, I say I'm the Father. I say I'm the Father. I say I'm the Son. I say I'm the same thing.
Yeah.
Look at chapter 17. Chapter 17. Look at verse 11. It says, And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through your own name those whom you have given me, that they, say that's me, that they may be what? One as we are. Uh-oh. Huh? Look down at verse 21. Same thing, look at verse 21. And he said, that they may all be one, as though Father in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have... You know, sometimes I get upset because they translated that word believe all through the New Testament. It's the Greek word pistis. And it actually doesn't have anything to do with believing. It has to do with an intuitive knowing that causes you to trust. And so a far better word would be trust. Because you see, whenever you trust something, you trust somebody, you trust something, then you know it. You don't have to believe that. You see, the very fact that you believe something tells me you don't even know it yet. If you knew it, you don't have to believe it. Gary don't have to believe that he's Gary Ziegler. He just knows that. That's an intuitive thing. He already knows. He don't need to believe that. So Jesus is saying that you would trust. Trust what? Trust your oneness. That you'll trust that you may be one in us, that they may trust that you have sent me, that the glory which you have given me, I give them, that they also may be one, even as we are one. Verse 23, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one. You get the picture? What's the picture? The picture's saying we're one.
Yeah.
The picture is just simply saying there's not any separation, there's not any difference, there's not any division.
Yeah.
That we are all one, and this energy system that we are is one energy system. Look back at John 10, verse 10. Y'all know this, can quote this, but look at it real quickly. And I'll kind of wind down here. I want to hear from some of you. John 10, 10. The thief comes but for to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I am. Everybody say, I am.
I am.
I am. I am come that you might have what? Life. You see, this is the choice that God has given you and I, that we would choose life and choose that life in all of its abundance. How many of you are familiar with that word, I am? You know, there is a movement of people and there's a group of people that call themselves the I am group, and that's fine. Some of you guys, and that's wonderful, and I don't have any difficulty with that. I am,
yeah.
Too. I am. Alif Hey Yod Hey. That's what that. Alif Hey Yod Hey. And the long form of that is Elohim. Alif Hey Yod Hey. 1-5-10-5. That's the Hebrew code as it is numerical value. And so when you see what that numerical value meant, because it's a matter of understanding formula. It's sort of like looking at algebra or chemistry, and it's looking at formulas. How many of you remember The Matrix, or how many of you remember the movie A Beautiful Mind? You guys saw that movie, Beautiful Mind? He was able to use his mind and see things that most people couldn't see. And so that's exactly what the Hebrew code is all about. It's giving you an ability to see things that normally you won't see when you look at it with your carnal mind. That's what the Hebrew code is all about. Learning to see how this energy system breaks itself down. Sila breaks itself down. You don't do it. It breaks itself down in you in multiple facets of energy.
Yes.
And so Jesus says, I am. This says this. This wasn't referring to a person. This was referring to the energy of I am that Moses encountered on the mountain. Exodus chapter 3. When Moses encountered this energy system appeared as a fire. It appeared as energy. And in that energy began to volumere, emanate itself into this man. You know, as far as I'm concerned, and this is exactly how I feel within my gut, that's what we are communing. We are communing around this energy of fire here. We are all drawn from all parts of the country, literally, to commune with this energy system and drink it and play in it and bathe in it and allow this energy system of Elohim, Echa, Aha, to transform us, to change us. No striving, no trying, no repeating. I'm not trying to do anything. I'm just exposing myself to this energy, and this energy will of its own self raise me up into planes and places that it has already predetermined that I seek and that I am to carry out my mission here in this earth. I am. So that's who I am. Me. Hallelujah. I'll quit there.